Welcome to the spirit world, answering your questions on angels, demons, and how the spiritual and physical worlds interact. And now your hosts, Debbie Giorgiani and Adam Bly.
Well, hi there, and welcome to the spirit world. I am Debbie Giorgiani with Adam Bly, and definitely you today. We want to hear that your calls, your stories, getting prepared for Lent. That's what we're talking about today. We titled the show, Make Some Lenten Gains, and we're going to jump right in. We're going to talk about what it means to really take part in Lent, the history of the Lenten experience, and Adam, as you know, and the Spirit World family, as they know, we always begin with the St. Michael prayer.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, St. Michael the Archangel, defend us in battle. Be our protection against the wickedness and snares of the devil. May God rebuke him, we humbly pray. And do thou, Prince of the heavenly hosts, by the power of God, cast into hell Satan and all the evil spirits who prowl about the world, seeking the ruin of souls. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. That was beautiful. And Adam, just a couple ways for our listeners to get in touch with us on Facebook. Make sure you like us on Facebook at the Spirit World Podcast. Also, Adam, please wave to YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, X, Rumble, and Twitch. We're saying hello to everybody. You guys get the chats going. Put your Lenten you know, your disciplines, your Lenten resolutions, your Lenten ideas in those chats, and we'll happily put them into the conversation. Also, we're going to ask the Spirit World listeners to please call in right now and start to share how you are getting prepared for Lent. That's at 877-757-9424, 877-757-9424. We do have our wonderful show team in place from the Guadalupe Radio Network. We have Tim Mott at the controls. Carol and Lori are on the phones, and we are so grateful to EWTN, Adam, for airing this wonderful show all throughout the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. So thank you. We expect first-time callers, international callers. We just love when you participate. Now, because this show is the spirit world, we want to make sure we open up the phone lines if you have something to ask that's going on in your life. We always like to check in with the family, and that means that if something's happening and you have a question about angels or demons or anything in between, feel free to call in. If it's not too way off topic, we'll happily kind of squeeze it into this episode. But we got to go quickly. So if you have something to say, we are alive today and we do need you to participate at 877-757-9424. And Adam, you're going to take us down and reset for us on the history of Lent. We've also got some resources that our wonderful producer Tim has attached to the show notes, and then we're going to also talk about the Lenten requirements.
Okay, so Lent, everybody's favorite season, right? So the word Lent, just for fun, it actually comes from the Anglo-Saxon Lenten, L-E-N-C-T-E-N, which just means spring. So that's actually where Lent comes from. Now, what is it about? Like, we all kind of heard, like, prayer, penance, you know, doing good works, or almsgiving, it's sometimes said, but what is this about, and like, where did it come from? So from the earliest years of the church, there was some form of fasting leading up to Easter, and there was some variations to it. It wasn't like a universal thing yet, but back as far as the year 203, there was writings about this. Going back and forth that we have letters from. Now, of course, the church got legalized in, you know, a number of years after that. And once it was legalized, you know, around 300, things got a little more formal. But they didn't get actually, like, really formally declared until Pope Gregory the Great declared it. Now, he was pope from 590 to 604. So we kind of go back to the 6th century with Lent in terms of it being, like, formalized. So what's the idea here? You know, the early church looked at Jesus and looked at his fasting in the desert that preceded his public ministry, and that was 40 days of fasting. And there's a few other places fasting comes up like that. So with Moses, he fasted for 40 days before he received the Ten Commandments. And then there was Elijah, who was walking and basically fasting for 40 days in one of the stories about him. So this idea of 40 appears a number of times in Scripture. And the number is kind of associated with discipline, devotion, and preparation. So the church, you know, kind of brought this this discipline of preparing for Easter, right? Preparing for the resurrection. And it starts on Ash Wednesday, you know, which is February 18th this year. And we receive our ashes. And it's actually 46 days, but the Sundays are not counted. Those are basically minor feast days in celebration of Easter, celebration of the resurrection. So what is this supposed to be about for us? Well, fasting, it increases like our self-control. But another way to think of it is it decreases our selfishness. So when we're really indulgent, that's basically like pleasure-seeking and more selfish. It's beyond what's necessary. So the fasting part within Lent is about getting some self-control and being less selfish. And also, fasting increases our willpower. And why is that? Well, if you can get yourself under control with a little thing, like a little bit of discomfort, or a little bit of like, okay, I'm not going to put sugar in my coffee, or something where you can kind of deal with it and be strong, that's going to increase your willpower. And why do we want to do that? We want to do that because our life is dealing with temptation. And so as we're heading towards Easter, we want to be in as good of a spiritual place as we possibly can be. And so we want to avoid temptation. We want to be, you know, going to confession. We want to be doing good things, you know, almsgiving or good works of some kind. We want to basically be the best Catholic Christians we can be by the time we get to Easter. Now, I know, Deb, we talk about this every year, and it's so challenging. And it is. It's kind of like a New Year's resolution for a lot of people. They start out strong, and within, you know, a few days, they get busy or overwhelmed, and then they say, ah, you know, I messed it up, whatever it is that they're giving up. But I would want to say this year, you know, as we're preparing for Lent, and we have some time to prepare for it, don't give up if you stumble. Don't give up if you forget to do the extra prayers that you wanted to do, or maybe on a Friday you forget that it's a day of abstinence each Friday during Lent, and maybe, you know, you accidentally ate something. Don't then just give up. Brush yourself off, stand up, and keep going. And I just want to share one final thing on that. I have an exorcist friend who is, he's in the Byzantine, Catholic Byzantine Church, so basically Eastern, kind of an Eastern style. And in their monasteries, this was really neat, Deb, kind of midway through Lent, the abbot of the monastery, because they eat no meat at all for their whole Lent in their monasteries at all, they come around with lard and they give a spoonful to each of the brothers and the priests so that they cannot boast of their fasting through Lent.
Wow.
It's a really interesting kind of mm-hmm. exercise where mm-hmm. you don't want to let the fasting become prideful.
Mm.
Like, oh, look at me. I'm being like super disciplined. I'm so great. So again, if you fall off, you know, if you fall off of what you're doing, brush yourself off and resume. That would be my big tip this year.
That's amazing. Yeah, very good. And I wanted to ask you, Adam, let me just ask you this, because in the work that you do, in the exorcism work that you do, do you find that the spiritual warfare is heightened during the 40 days of Lent, or is it just the same all year round for Catholic Christians?
I think that there's a certain amount that it's heightened. So I tend to see more really overt things like crimes related to desecrating statues or bad cursed objects being left in places, mm-hmm. that type of thing, like real overt kind of spiritual warfare tends to increase during Lent and be the worst during Holy Week. Oh. So that's what I've seen over the years. And I imagine that just on the purely spiritual level, mm-hmm. there's lots of people that kind of serve the enemy that are doing their best to tempt and distract and their version of praying. They're not praying to God, but their version of praying to try to interfere with people.
Right.
And of course, the demons are going to want to derail people before Easter because it's a huge, important day.
Hmm. So the Lenten requirements for Catholics, you talked about fasting, you know, the three pillars are fasting, prayer, fasting, and almsgiving. And fasting, especially on Ash Wednesday and Good Friday, talking about focusing on that self-discipline and penance. And fasting means, and just for the requirements, you can look it up on the usccb.org, that's the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops website. But if fasting is one full meal and two smaller ones that do not equal a full meal. And that's for fasting for ages 18 to 59. Now, I just turned 60 this year. I should say last year, but it feels like this year, Adam. And so I'm outside of that, but I'm still going to participate in fasting. And also the abstinence from meat ages 14 and older on Ash Wednesday, Good Friday, and all the Fridays of Lent. And those disciplines are in place. And if you intentionally decide not to participate, now, if liquids are, you know, allowed, and if you have medications you have to take, if you can't do it, there's all these medical things that you can be exempt from this. But if you intentionally decide, I'm not just not going to do it, I would highly recommend going to confession and really talking it over with a priest, because we are required to do that as Catholics. Any quick comments on that before we hit our first break, Adam?
No, I think that's a great point, Deb. You know, Lent and the discipline of Lent is a really big deal in the church. And we should take it seriously. It's not like a recommended thing. It is really a requirement for us, you know, on the same level that, like, at least confession once a year is a requirement. Like, this is something we're really supposed to be doing.
Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely. So Adam and I are going to hit our first break, and now it's your turn to start calling in and tell us how you give us your story, tell us your past Lents, how they were, you know, how you felt about them. Were you transformed? Did you feel like a different person? Was it a better you, a better version of you after you went through the Lenten experience? Do you want to experience that again? Do you want to talk about it? We would love to chat with you. Adam and I are also both life coaches, so if you have something that you're struggling with, we'll happily talk that over with you. But you got to call in. Now is the time to fill the phone lines at 877-757-9424. Again, that's 877-757-9424. And Adam and I will be back in just a couple minutes.
This is Franciscan Media's Saint of the Day for February 7th. Today we celebrate Saint Colette. A quiet life of prayer and devotion was Colette's path to sanctity. Born in France in 1381, Colette lived the life of a hermit following her father's death. She followed the third rule of Saint Francis and became a so-called anchoress, a woman walled into a room whose only opening was a window into a church. She developed a reputation for holiness, and many people went to her for spiritual direction. After 4 years, Colette left her tiny cell and, with the encouragement of the Pope, joined the Poor Clares. Serving as Abbess General, she began the work of restoring the primitive rule of St. Clare in the 17 monasteries she established. Though she met with some initial opposition, the reform movement took root in France and spread elsewhere as well. She and her sisters became known for their poverty and fasting. Colette began her reform during the time of the Great Western Schism, where three men claimed to be Pope, and Western Christianity was deeply divided. Her efforts were aimed at reminding not just the Poor Clares, but also the entire church, of the need to follow Christ more closely. She died in 1447. There's more about the saints, along with inspiration and Catholic resources, at our website, saintoftheday.org. From Franciscan Media, this has been Saint of the Day.
The Spirit World continues with Debbie Giorgiani and Adam Bly. If you have a question for the show, call 877-757-9424 or email tsw@grnonline.com.
We have a lot of folks putting in their suggestions on the social media stream. So thanks, you guys. We're waving to you again. We love everybody on Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, X, Rumble, and Twitch, going strong. So thank you. Lots of folks watching. But we do want you to call in and maybe share with the world what you are doing to prepare for Lent. Do you look forward to Lent? Do you dread Lent? I have to tell you, Adam, when I started full-time ministry, Lent became very, very difficult every single year. But I had my mind, my thoughts in my mind shifted a bit when I interviewed this week Bishop Joseph Coffey, the Auxiliary Bishop of the Archdiocese for the Military Services. He was wonderful. He challenged me and told me to really kind of embrace Lent in a whole different way. And I said, okay, Bishop, mainly because I really like this bishop. So I would say yes to him. I would say yes to him, even though down deep Lent is very, very hard. And that's why I wanted to ask you that question, Adam. Do you feel that the spiritual warfare is a little bit heightened during Lent? And I'm glad you shared honestly with all of us. We are getting the calls coming in. Again, Adam and I are willing to also entertain questions that are not really completely on topic with Lent. But if you have something else that's going on with the invisible world, we'll happily speak to you about that, because this what this show is all about, the spirit world, angels and demons and everything in between. So you can call us right now. We are Pat and Carol are actually screening calls. Tim is at the controls, and we understand everybody's saying you can hear us loud and clear, so that's great, but we'd love to hear you by dialing 877-757-9424, 877-757-9424. And Adam, just a reminder, if you have a longer story, maybe you're thinking, oh, this is too long to tell Adam and Debbie this, and you want to talk about your past Lenten experience or what you're planning for this year, you can always email us. We always save those emails for a future mailbag edition at tsw@grnonline.com. Okay, anything else you wanted to share about Lent, Adam?
Well, just that, you know, the Sorrowful Mysteries and the Station of the Cross are two areas that you, if you're thinking of, like, what can I do extra? The Stations of the Cross is a really powerful exercise that a lot of people don't do, but it is often made available during Lent and leading up to Easter. I would encourage people to do that and meditate on the Stations of the Cross, and also the Sorrowful Mysteries of the Rosary. You know, again, this is a penitential season, and the reason we focus on our sins is because our sins, the sins of mankind, of Adam and Eve originally, led to the need for Christ and his passion, death, and resurrection to heal the wound between humanity and God. And so this is a time to reflect on that. And that, I think, can be really grounding, and it can get us out of our own head. I know for myself, like, Lent can become kind of like, well, what am I going to do? And, oh, can I maintain this? Or I'll do these extra prayers and that'll be good. And kind of get us focusing on Christ during Lent, because it's kind of a joining with him in the difficulties that he went through. Mm-hmm. Obviously, the 40 days fasting in the desert, right. But kind of all of it in terms of penance.
I'm glad you said that. That is excellent. You know, this is my little personal challenge to everyone that I continually do during Lent, is I do focus on the Sorrowful Mysteries as an additional to the daily mysteries that are assigned to us for the rosary. So picking up an extra rosary every single day, exactly what you just said, Adam, focusing on the Sorrowful Mysteries. And then also really going to confession once a week. I would highly recommend that. And a lot, and if you look at a lot of the saints, Padre Pio, St. Carlo Acutis, I mean, I can go on and on, said go once a week. That's really important to just keep yourself focused through this 40 days. And it's very important. Now, Adam and I, thanks to the help of our senior producer, Tim, posted on the show notes, and we'll post it in other places as well, the usccb.org website, where it's talking about what is Lent. And then Adam found a really wonderful Lent season, real comprehensive kind of article with a clip of Mother Angelica from EWTN.com. And so Tim is going to post that as well. So we're trying to give you some things to look at now. Don't wait till the last minute. So many people wait till Ash Wednesday to start thinking about what resolutions, what they're going to do. But I do want to just say, Adam, and I'm glad you said this as well, like if you stumble, if you fall, if you feel like, you know, this is just another Lent that, you know, I can't succeed. I'm not going to win God's favor. I'm not going to do anything spectacular during Lent. Don't think of it that way. Just pick up again and start again and start anew, just like St. Teresa of Avila has said, and go to confession, wipe it clean, and just begin. Because, you know, God is in the here and now, and we've got to take comfort in that. If we think about all the times that we have missed the mark, which is what sin is, missing the mark, okay, if we think of all those times, if we think of the past, if we go, we're just going to get paralyzed, right, Adam? You know, you and I in life coaching, that is a key principle that we talk about with clients. Don't get paralyzed, because if you can't move forward, you can't make the necessary steps to change and evolve and grow. So folks, be confident, be hopeful, be joy-filled, and take on Lent. That's what I'm going to do. I promised Bishop Coffee that, and he's a friend of Take Twos and the spirit world. So I want to make sure I honor that. And let's all do this together. Adam, what do you say we get to the phones? We have almost full phone lines.
Excellent. Let's go.
Okay. And when a line becomes free, and actually we do have a couple lines you could jump on right now, 877-757-9424. Tell us how you're preparing for Lent, 877-757-9424. Or you can ask any other question. We'll happily address it. Okay. Joseph is up first from Ann Arbor, Michigan on the EWTN app. Hi, Joseph. Thanks for joining us on the Spirit World.
All right. Hey, guys. Yeah. I wanted to maybe describe how I, when I first came back to the church after being away for a while, because of, I had like a 20 plus year porn addiction, and which the Lord has graciously delivered me from. And what actually brought me back was when this porn star that I had created an online relationship with scammed me for $9,800. And I thought I was rather furious, you know, to be expected. And but, you know, I have to forgive her, because I knew what type of person she was to begin with. And so I really didn't have a problem with her, but it was my bank that told me the check was good to clear, and so I cashed it. So if I got anybody to be mad at, it was with them. But then after I came back to the church, you know, for my first Lent, I also had this addiction with shoplifting, where I got busted at a Whole Foods restaurant or a Whole Foods shopping store. And so as a penance, you know, during that first Lent, I got the idea, or maybe inspired by the Holy Spirit, to pick up trash. So I was picking up every bit of trash in the Whole Foods shopping parking lot, along with all the other, you know, strip mall, and I continue to pick up trash to this day, whether it's Lent or not. It's just a habit I've developed, and I feel that's it's like my way of generosity to make a place look better, you know. And mm-hmm. So it's, I think it's a good thing to do.
So,
and
Joseph,
I care about the earth. You know, everybody's worried about getting rid of plastic bags and everything. But if more people just started picking up trash.
Okay, Joseph. So, Joseph, can I ask, how long has it been since you were freed from these addictions?
Okay, well, it's been about 3 years or so when I came first came back to the church, mm-hmm. and I figured, you know, during my porn addiction, when I really got into it, I thought, what was the point of going to church? So anyway, now that I'm back, I think the Lord delivered me from it relatively fast, because, you know, I still have, like, maybe thoughts and dreams about it, you know, where it's, Satan's trying to get me back into it. But, mm-hmm. you know, I know that people that are going, you know, through it and trying to give it up have a really hard time. And you know, I think it's been a relatively cakewalk with me as compared with my hoarding addiction, which I have described before on the church, or described before on that call with you guys. Mm-hmm. And, okay. and, you know, I'm still dealing with my hoarding addiction. And like I said, you know, it's, my porn addiction, it's been a relatively cakewalk getting over that. So anyway, I performed this penance of picking up trash. And then as far as with this Lent coming up, I want to be really a little more hardcore with it, where I'm going to give up cheese, I'm going to give up beer, all the things that I like, that I find pleasurable, which I don't think I really did as well last Lent. And okay. and I'm sure you guys heard of this app called Exodus 90. Mm-hmm. They refer to that as like Lent on steroids.
Right.
And
right.
I haven't attempted that yet. But at some point, I want to get, you know, prevail myself to take on that kind of challenge.
Well, Joseph, let Adam comment, because you've said so many things that I think a lot of listeners want to hear the response.
Yeah, Joseph. So a lot of people are dealing with addictions, various types of addictions right now. And what you're bringing up in that general sense is really, really helpful. And that is, if you're struggling with addictions that are, you know, obviously addictions are a problem, but particularly if they're keeping you away from the church, they're keeping you away from Mass, you're kind of despairing of, you know, approaching God, perhaps, like you were describing there, this is a really good opportunity to use this Lent specifically as kind of a turning point and a place to focus on getting better. And you can reach out to your diocese and see if they recommend any programs for whatever type of addiction you're wrestling with, or maybe you're already in a program. But you can tap into, I think in most cases, we can tap into additional grace during Lent to get self-control. And it kind of helps us do it not just for ourselves, because when humans are addicted, it can be hard to stop just for yourself. But when you're doing it for somebody else, sometimes that can be easier. So doing it for Jesus, doing it along with him in terms of his fasting in the desert, for some people, I think, can be empowering. What do you think, Deb?
Yeah, I totally agree with you, Adam. And Joseph, I love your intentions, because you have a heart for wanting to improve and to get better and to get closer to God. So that believe me, when I can tell you this, I truly believe that God is noticing that. And, you know, because he knows everything about us. He knows our hearts. And so that's a beautiful thing. One challenge I have for you, Joseph, because you have called before about the hoarding addiction and the porn addiction. I would encourage you not necessarily to constantly use the terms my porn addiction, my hoarding addiction, because you're identifying with it so much, it becomes even harder to break away. If it were me, I would say something like the porn addiction or the hoarding addiction, and just start to separate yourself from that and elevate yourself out of it in a slow process. It's just a simple kind of word change, but it makes a huge difference. What do you say, Joseph?
Hey, that sounds good, Deb. Thanks.
You're welcome.
yeah, and, you know, now I lost my thought, I have gone to my church, and because I'm in serious need of a spiritual director. But when I mentioned about my hoarding addiction, they said I have to overcome that first before I can, you know, come for a spiritual director. And I don't understand that. I mean, I could really use one right now, you know, and maybe that would help me get over my hoarding addiction.
The hoarding addiction. Yes, exactly. Good job, Joseph. I'm so glad you made that little that little change there. So, Joseph, you know, why don't we put you again. You're still in the prayer book, but I'll put you in again today, and we'll start praying that God presents to you either a coach or a therapist or somebody to start to move you in that direction, so that you can acquire a bigger support team around you with spiritual direction and things of that nature. Sometimes it's a slow process, but we have to make, as you're doing, trying to make the effort to get break these addictions, and then you'll see God will provide more and more support. But Joseph, we'll be praying for that, and God bless you. Thank you so much for trusting us today and starting the conversation. We appreciate it, and call us again anytime. Adam, before we get to our next break, which will be our last break for this particular episode, I have to say that because we have the Spirit World family saying no more breaks, so we'd only have one more. We're going to get to Robert, who's a first-time caller in Washington, D.C., and Robert's listening on Sirius XM 130. Hi, Robert. Welcome to the Spirit World.
Hi, thanks. I was having a similar thought as you mentioned about, Lent is so difficult, and, you know, the last caller, this business of, Lent on steroids, and I think we're sometimes trained to think, it's got to be super difficult, or it's not what we're supposed to be doing. We're not doing it right. But this morning I read something from St. Faustina's diary, and so this is her speaking. Today I received some oranges. When the sister had left, I thought to myself, should I eat the oranges instead of doing penance and mortifying myself during Holy Lent? After all, I'm feeling a bit better. Then I heard a voice in my soul, and this is Jesus speaking to her. My daughter, you please me more by eating the oranges out of obedience and love of me than by fasting and mortifying yourself of your own will. So, how about we go in front of the Blessed Sacrament, and if it's not, quote, adoration, the Blessed Sacrament is in the tabernacle, and we, as prep, go, God, what do you want of me? It may not be, quote, traditional. Oh, well, we do this, and there's a program, and I have to do X, Y, Z. Maybe God wants us to, you know, fill in the blank, do something proper, better, homework, personal improvement, whatever. But I love the idea that this is what God might want of us for love of him, and ask him, beg him to tell you, what is it you want of me? Mm-hmm. I think that's
huge.
That can really lift a burden, one, and two, you're in cooperation. It's not me, it's God, what do you want of me?
Mm-hmm. Adam, what are your thoughts? Robert brings up some really good points, and you know how we love the diary of St. Faustina.
Yeah, so I guess a couple things, Robert. You know, thanks for calling in. You know, for sure, like, when we think about things being really difficult, I think a good analogy is, say, exercise and maybe, you know, getting better at running or lifting weights or something. If you were to go in and on day one try to run 10 miles, you would be wrecked and probably injured, and it wouldn't go well. And then you wouldn't be able to run for 9 days while you recovered from it. Right. But if you do something that's a little bit challenging and difficult, and then after that, keep that strength, and then maybe the next time you do something a little more challenging, that's how we build up our kind of spiritual muscles. Padre Pio worked for years to get to the point where he was spiritually in terms of his discipline. So that would be one thing. And then the other thing, Robert, yeah, absolutely pray about it. But also remember there's some basic, like, minimum bars that the church does set for Lent, that we should pick something, and then Fridays are days of abstinence, things like that. So to remember, like, yes, like, and this is how the church often works. The church sets the minimum, but we can go beyond that. And so we want to remember, like, yes, pray about it, do what feels right to you, but also meet the minimum requirements. That's my thought step.
That's well said. What do you think, Robert? Final comments?
Absolutely. I think in cooperation with God, we're not looking for an easy out. We're not looking to go, I don't really need to stop eating meat, and we can do more. We're you know, so many folks, Americans and otherwise, are we've got plenty of food. Too much food gets wasted. But I just love the idea of asking the Lord, what do you want me to do, instead of, hey, I've got ideas and I'm gonna tell God your plans, and he might get a chuckle, but ask him, cooperate. I think, yeah.
Right. Well, getting in front of the Blessed Sacrament every single day is key to that, Robert. We so agree to get that clarity and the understanding and the word from God. And I love how you're pretty much describing how Lent should kind of organically unfold into a deeper sense of self and your relationship with God. Well done, Robert. Thank you so much. You were a first-time caller. Please call us again. You hear that wonderful music that all of our Spirit World family loves? Well, this will be our final break for today. When we come back, we'll get to Christina and Philip and Ross and the others. Adam and I really want to hear from you, so leave your comments in the chats, pick up those resources, and you can always email us at tsw@grnonline.com. We'll be right back.
The month of February is dedicated to the Holy Family. Heavenly Father, we ask you to bless our family. Open our hearts to receive your love. May our home be another Nazareth, so that our family may be a place where your peace and love abides. Open our eyes to recognize the gift and beauty of life, so that we may find joy in your presence among us. Grant us pure hearts seeking holiness, generous hearts full of your love, merciful hearts ready to forgive, and tender hearts full of kindness. May our family be a sanctuary of life and love, a beacon of hope, drawing others to your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. O Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, Holy Family of Nazareth, pray for us.
Stand Tall is now offering advanced group coaching sessions with master coaches highly trained in life skills. Visit standtalltoday.com and register for one of our upcoming group coaching events. These virtual opportunities are designed to take you to the next level of life in your relationships, career, faith walk, and so much more. Space is limited. Hurry to standtalltoday.com and sign up for one of our advanced group coaching sessions. standtalltoday.com.
The Spirit World continues with Debbie Giorgiani and Adam Bly. If you have a question for the show, call 877-757-9424 or email tsw@grnonline.com.
Okay, no more breaks, and we're going to pick up the pace here a little bit on the Spirit World, and we've got some more comments to share about fasting, which is very important, and we'll bring that up in a moment. We do have many messages coming in on social media, on Facebook. Adam, please wave. They're waving back to us, which is always so great. Sura says, I love your show, Debbie and Adam. I am Chaldean, and our Lent starts Monday the 16th. I always have a hard time and overdo it, so I learned over the years to do it simple. I pick up the Lent Black Book and read daily and reflect and pray. Fridays, no meat. Fish Fridays, not my favorite. Don't focus on the food and focus on the sacrifice. Very nice, Sarah. Thank you so much. I mean, we're getting comments so fast, the screen keeps jumping and resetting. Also, Jane from Southern Illinois is saying she's doing for the consecration to the Holy Family by Father Donald Calloway for Lent. And so that's wonderful. Adam, you wanted to mention that fasting doesn't necessarily always mean from food. It means from other and abstinence. Go ahead, about social media.
Yeah, just really quick, you know, yes, Fridays we abstain from meat and we limit our food intake in general, but one of the things that we can give up in the modern world is giving up social media, giving up living online and spending hours a day online. I think that can be a powerful way to give ourselves a break from that and take back more of our lives and more control of our lives during Lent. So I would encourage people to consider abstinence from social media and kind of doom scrolling on the phone for Lent.
Yeah, good advice. Also on YouTube, Betsy's saying, good morning, brothers and sisters. I'm 60 plus too, but I want to try my best to keep Lent. I really want to fast from my tablet too. So exactly what you're talking about, Adam, getting off of those gadgets, getting away from that and doing some more prayer or being with people is so important during Lent to encourage them to stay strong. So I love that. We got more comments coming in. They're coming in so fast, I can hardly keep up with you guys, but I love it. So guess what? We invited our international callers, and we always put them at the front of the line because they're calling long distance. We want to make sure we give them ample time. And I hope everybody knows I love Australian accents. So I hope they have an Australian accent. This is our caller from Melbourne, or Australia, on YouTube. Please wave, Adam. And the first-time caller, Philip. Hello, Philip. Welcome from Australia.
Hi there. How you doing?
Oh, well, thank you. You go right ahead.
The Lent thing, my church does that. But my question is, I'm good on a Sunday. How do I make every day a Sunday? Because, I don't know. It's like praise Jesus and everything on a Sunday, and then the rest of the week I'm not good, you know. Mm-hmm. Whatever. And I'm not, like, stealing cars or murdering people or anything like that, but, I think Lent's important because, and I think fasting's important because it teaches you to think in a way, like, you know, mm-hmm. about more than just food and other things, and it gives you time to think about Jesus. But,
Right.
I would really like to be the same person I am on Sunday.
Yeah.
All through the week.
So, Philip, we both have comments on this. So I'll let Adam go first, and then I have definite comments on this from Life Skills. So, first of all, I want to just share, thank you so much for being a first-time caller from Melbourne, Australia. You have a beautiful accent. I love Australian accents. I have some relatives in Australia, in Sydney area. And, Philip, I just wanted to say, I understand you are not Catholic. Is that correct?
I don't think I'm any denomination because I've met some really amazing Catholics and I've met some really amazing Baptists and other sort of faith, only Christian faiths, but, mm-hmm. you know, I could be Catholic, who knows what I am. But okay. The thing is that, mm-hmm. yeah,
well,
I don't diss the Catholics.
Okay. Well, Philip, we hope you continue to listen to the spirit world and you also listen to more of the programs that you hear on this wonderful network and EWTN so you can feel very close because you are definitely part of the family because you just called in. But Adam wants to comment first and then I have some suggestions because I go through the same thing on Monday morning, Philip. Go ahead, Adam.
Yeah, Philip, thanks for calling. A couple things. First off, you're not alone. A lot of people wrestle with this because we often are off on Sunday and you have extra time and energy and emotional energy to devote, you know, to prayer, to going to some type of service, going to a mass. And then you're busy during the week for most of us. We're getting up and going to work and we're completely distracted by that and we're tired by the end of the day. So that's, you know, a normal thing. Now, here's a tip. Something really simple you can do, and it literally only takes minutes, would be start your day with a little bit of prayer. And I mean, it can be really simple. It could start off as just an Our Father, a Hail Mary, and a Glory Be, or opening the gospel and reading, you know, a few verses in the morning, and then do the same thing at noon, either before or after lunch, literally like 2 or 3 minutes. And then the same thing at the end of the day, 2 or 3 minutes. Everybody can find 2 or 3 minutes. And by bringing this moments of reflection and pausing from the distraction of the world, you'll build on that over time. But if you make it really doable in the beginning, I think it can actually make a difference.
So Adam and I are on the same wavelength, Philip. Exactly what Adam said. 1 minute of prayer or thinking about God, talking to God, 1 minute in the morning, Philip. And that will really kind of reset and focus your day every single day. I totally agree with Adam. An additional thing I would do, Philip, is check out Psalm 91 in your Bible. Psalm 91, God's protection. Okay, in the middle of the psalm, it talks about how you, Philip, have a guardian angel beside you to walk with you, to guard you and guide you in all your ways and to help you each and every day. They are your soul guard. They are your bodyguard, Philip. They're there to help you. They are praying when you cannot pray, when they are there wanting you to pray, when you are unwilling to pray. So they are your help, and they are definitely a guide for you. So, Philip, you're not alone. Think about it. How many people on Sunday evening, when they finish their Sunday, they say, I'm going to start my diet tomorrow, which is Monday. And Monday comes and they don't start their diet because it's Monday. Monday can be really tough, especially if that's your work week. It can be tough, but don't beat yourself up over it. But I very much recommend what Adam has shared. 1 minute in the morning, a minute of gratitude at night, thanking God that you lived another beautiful day, and you watch how each day turns into something quite miraculous. What do you say, Philip?
I think that sounds good, but my problem is financially, I don't know how I'm going to live because I'm making a lot of money at the moment in my job, and I need to give my job up because it's not godly. And I'll tell you something. You know, because I know the Bible pretty well because I grew up in the church, but I went away from it. Mm-hmm. But you know the lady that washed Jesus' feet with her hair? Because mm-hmm. I don't want to say the word. That's what I'm doing during the week. And I don't like it. But now I've got myself an expensive rental that I'm paying rent on, and then it looks after me, you know, and whatever. The money is good, you know, but the thing is, I'm disgusted in myself, and I'm disgusted in the jobs, you know. I just want to
But get Philip,
away from it.
Right, and you should, because if it's not of God, it's not going to benefit you long term, okay? But here's what you want to do. You need to get a support system, a Christian godly support system around you, Philip, with therapists and coaches and friends and mentors and pastors and anybody you can reach out to put a support system around you, Philip, so that you can please, I'm begging you, please have God connect with God in prayer and have God speak to you to put resources in view, people that can get you out of this predicament with earning a living that you are not proud of, that's not of God. And God will provide for you in other ways, Philip. So you have to, there's a lesson in trust there. There's an exercise in prayer there. And God wants you to have a better life that you are proud of, and you can still make a living. What do you say, Adam?
Yeah, the final thing, Philip, reach out to Catholic charities within your diocese. So you can call the diocese central office, or you can Google Catholic charities and find out if they have any programs that could offer some support for free, and maybe some advice, and sit down, you know, and talk about your situation and see if maybe they can be helpful, because Catholic Charities does a lot.
That's right.
And if you're trying to make these changes in your life, they have a lot of connections. They might have some good tips for you.
Right. And remember, if you get close to your guardian angel, they will also help you to put these people and resources into view so that you can get out of this life and lifestyle that is harming you spiritually and into the purpose-driven life that God wants for you, Philip. Okay?
Thank you so much. And do you know, the thing is, I had a scary dream, and I'm not going to go into it, but it was... someone told me something in that dream, and it was a nice, godly thing, but it scared me. But I know that I've got to give this life up, but I just don't know how I'm going to afford to live without it, you know. But the thing is, I just need the strength to trust God.
That's right.
Maybe I can live in a cardboard box somewhere. I don't know. But the thing is I need to give up this life because mm-hmm. it's like my spirit knows how filthy and sinful my life mm-hmm. is. Mm-hmm. And God's probably put that upon me, you know. But the thing is like, I know it's coming to an end. Because mm-hmm. I don't know, God, Jesus done some amazing stuff, but I have to believe in it.
You do have to trust, absolutely. But Philip, we put you in the prayer book. We're praying for you immediately. Feel those prayers all the way to Melbourne, Australia, okay? So we believe in the power of prayer, and Adam's going to have the final comments. We're going to ask you, Philip, call us again, please. Adam.
Oh, just again, Philip, reach out to Catholic Charities within your diocese, or even just ask the diocese if they have other resources or tips for you. I think what Deb said is important. You need some people that'll be there and give you emotional support and maybe some material support to help you make a transition to a better life.
Right. And given that you're not a practicing Catholic, Philip, ask Catholic Charities. There's other organizations probably in your area. Many are functioning in every single town all across the world. So, Philip, mm-hmm. feel our prayers already. The Spirit World family is praying for you. Keep in touch with us, and God bless you, and stay strong, and trust God. Know that your guardian angel is beside you. Christina is up next from Savannah, Georgia, on the EWTN app. Christina, thanks for waiting. We appreciate it, and welcome.
Yes, I'll be quick. It's really maybe a statement or just even like a prayer request or guidance. I'm trying to get ready for Lent, but I just feel like my heart is, I've just been dealing with a lot of anger. I've been to confession. I've been in just a really tough place, and I just feel like that's like a block.
The anger?
In a way, I feel like it's almost like the enemy is just using. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm not a first-time caller. I have fasted and prayed. I have adult children. My son was a very bad alcoholic, and in the past, I've called you on that. He is now sober a year and a half.
Great, great.
And mm-hmm. I believe in the power of prayer,
mm-hmm.
but I am dealing with an adult daughter. I have her four children,
mm-hmm.
and she just pops in and out. It's been 8 months, and I'm just so angry.
Okay, so you're getting resentful. You're having the anger. Probably there's some unforgiveness there. I would highly recommend coaching or therapy or counseling because that can help you with the steps out of that. What do you say, Adam?
Yeah, Deb is right on there, Christina. You need some counseling. You need somebody to help you get perspective on things. And, you know, so the anger doesn't spill over to the kids and, you know, affect them negatively. Not saying that to make you feel bad, but you know, you really do need some outside guidance, some counseling or therapy.
Yeah. Or go to someone in the church that you trust, a lay leader or a deacon or a priest and talk it over with them, but practice, you know, mm-hmm. we say this all the time in life coaching. You know, I know we always hear practice makes perfect. It's practice makes permanent in life coaching. Got to keep practicing. That's why we're practicing Catholics, right? We're practicing to get there, to really get there. So you practice each and every day in small ways, just like Adam said earlier, and then you build, you get stronger. That's why we titled the show Making Some Lenten Gains. We use the analogy, the example of going into a gym, right? No pain, no gain, right? You gotta slowly work at things to get stronger and stronger. And so these are all lessons for us, Christina, in trust, just like we shared with Philip, in forgiveness, just like the other callers shared. It's all lessons and experiences to get us stronger and closer to God. So consider this an opportunity for you for a great spiritual growth, okay?
Thank you.
You're welcome. Yeah, you're not alone. We all feel it, believe me. Okay, so Adam, this is the part that you and I don't like, and that is we have to say goodbye to those that are holding on the line. We wish we could have gotten to you. Ross in Mississippi and Tony, a first-time caller in Pennsylvania. So sorry. please, we're going to ask our show team, Carol and Pat, to pick up the phones, and Libby as well, to pick up the phones and get your comments. Maybe you could call back on a future The Spirit World show, or you can get into our mailbag edition. Thanks again to everybody on social media. Adam and I just love how the chats are going strong. Pick up those resources there on Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, X, Rumble, and Twitch. Adam, great show.
Oh, God bless everybody. God bless your Lent. And if you fall down, just get back up. Make this a good, fruitful Lent.
Beautiful. That'll do it. Until next Saturday, have a beautiful and blessed week. We'll see you real soon.